would not exchange the abiding rest of soul, the measure of wisdom I've gained from the sweet and bitter and perplexing experiences of life, nor the confirmed faith I now have in the love of God, for all the bright and uncertain hopes and tumultuous joys of youth. Indeed, I would not. These are the best years of my life. The way grows brighter, the birds sing sweeter, the winds blow softer, the sun shines more radiantly than ever before. I suppose my outward man is perishing, but my inward man is being joyously renewed day by day. The strength and beauty of youth is temporary, but the strength and beauty of age is spiritual and has an eternal quality. We gradually lose the strength and beauty that is temporary, and we must be sure to concentrate on the strength and beauty that is forever. Well, the reading that I read from Luke's Gospel chapter 2 is about two people who it seems to me encapsulate all that is noble and beautiful in growing old. Firstly, Simeon. He's described as righteous and devout. In other words, he was someone who loved God and maintained his walk with God. He was faithful. He prayed. He worshipped. He reflected on the scriptures, on the word of God. And the Bible says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. What this means is that Simeon cared deeply for his country and for the restoration of its glory and dignity as the covenant people of God. Many old men become cynical or indifferent to the future of the world, or just grumpy. They don't particularly care about the world that their grandchildren are growing up in. But Simeon was the very opposite of this. His hope and his compassion continued to grow while others around him lived in apathy and spiritual blindness. Simeon was a man whose life was touched by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he was given a holy calling to persevere in this earthly life until he came face to face with Jesus. Only then would he be dismissed or released in peace. And I believe God delights in people who persevere, who persist in following God day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, year out. Why? Well, perseverance shows that our love for God is true and enduring rather than just shallow and temporary. If we want to be effective Christians who are discerning God's will and purpose for our lives and making God's glory known in the world, there's no substitute for perseverance, for keeping going. At first sight, it looks like Simeon has been rewarded for his good works by receiving from God a lovely promise that the Messiah would come in his lifetime. On the surface, it looks like a great little heavenly tip-off, which would have given Simeon some comfort and security. All he had to do was wait to see God's promise come true. But actually, waiting on God is a tough and a demanding business. Waiting for God to reveal his purposes in our lives, waiting for the fulfillment of his promise of salvation, calls for patient endurance, especially in times of trouble. And even if we are given words of prophetic insight into our own lives, as Simeon was, I don't actually think it necessarily makes things easy. Floyd McClung tells the story of his encounter with Corrie ten Boom, the famous Dutch Christian lady who endured a concentration camp and yet preached forgiveness and reconciliation. On her 80th birthday, she offered to come speak with some of the young people in Floyd McClung's church, which met on a houseboat in Amsterdam. And this boat church was made up of former runaways, drug addicts and prostitutes. And Corrie was preparing to appear on television during the Billy Graham Crusades, And she asked the young people to pray for her about this. And then when she said goodbye, her parting words were, "God's promised me 10 more years to live. So I brought new suitcases to celebrate." And that's exactly what happened, actually. Corrie ten Boom died on her 90th birthday, 10 years to the very day. But what puzzled Floyd McClan was that the quality of her last years seemed very difficult. She spent the last 4.5 years of her life bedridden. She suffered one stroke after another, had several heart attacks, even lost her speech. Floyd and his wife Sally went to visit her, and even though they sensed a light and pleasant and warm spirit in the room where she was, they were still moved by her suffering and pain. And Floyd found himself praying, why, Lord? And he felt prompted to turn to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. It says this, "Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." She'd been promised 10 more years, but Floyd sense that just as Corrie was prepared through the suffering of concentration camp to speak to people all over the world about forgiveness, so now God was preparing her as she waited on him for a new assignment in heaven. Both Simeon and Anna, the 84-year-old widowed after just 7 years of marriage, were people of perseverance. And they kept going. They endured. And that was something very beautiful. They were also people of praise and worship. Anna never left the temple, worshipping night and day, fasting, praying, bursting into thanksgiving when she saw the Christ child. And when Simeon held the Lord Jesus in his arms, his eyes looked down at the person in whom he had placed all his hope for all those years. His heart was full of praise at the living miracle of God's salvation. And the beautiful words he said have been sung by Christians down through the ages, known as the Nunc Dimittis. "Lord, let your servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen your salvation." Whenever we as Christians give thanks and praise to God, we're entering into the chief purpose for which we were made: to worship and enjoy God forever. And true worship so satisfies our total personality that we don't have to look for man-made substitutes. William Temple, who was a previous Archbishop of Canterbury. When I was at school, we had two houses, both named after archbishops, one called Fisher and the other called Temple. And he gave this wonderful definition of worship. "Worship is the submission of all our nature to God. It's the quickening of our conscience by his holiness. It's the nourishment of our minds with his truth. It's the purifying of our imaginations by his beauty. It's the opening of our hearts to his love, the surrender of our wills to his purpose. And all of this gathered up in adoration, the most selfless emotion of which our nature is capable, and therefore the chief remedy for that self-centeredness which is our original sin and the source of all actual sin." Haydn, the great composer, Franz Joseph Haydn, was present in the Vienna concert hall where his oratorio, The Creation, was being performed. And he was very old by now, so it's a weakened by age. The great composer was confined to a wheelchair. And as his majestic work, The Creation, moved along, the audience was caught up with the emotion of the performance. And when the passage "And there was light" was reached. The chorus and the orchestra burst forth with such power that the crowd could not restrain its enthusiasm. The vast assembly rose in spontaneous applause. And Haydn, he struggled to stand up, and then he sort of motioned for silence. And with his hand pointed towards heaven, he said, "No, not this didn't come from me, it came from him. Everything comes from him." And having given the glory and praise to the Creator, he fell back into his wheelchair exhausted. Simeon and Anna were not only people of perseverance and praise, they were finally people of prophecy. And prophecy is what happens when God speaks through people by his Holy Spirit and reveals his truth in so doing. Simeon prophesied that Jesus was God's salvation, come in the flesh, the fulfillment of God's promises, a means of glory to his people, blessing to all the people on earth, which was highly radical. It was the great truth that had been buried for all those years, that actually the Messiah was to be the fulfillment of God's promise to bless all the nations. And Israel had become so preoccupied with its own problems that it had forgotten the promise that their Messiah was to be a blessing for all nations. Simeon's prophecy had a hard edge. Jesus would be the great divider. He would be a sign that many would speak against. And by their reaction to Jesus, many would reveal their sinful hearts and their stubborn opposition to God. Those who believed in him would and obey his commands will rise, but those who reject him shall fall, because no one can be neutral in the face of Jesus. So let's follow the example of Simeon and Anna. Until their dying days, they lived for Jesus. They didn't get weary or cynical, and they never lost that attractiveness. The sparkle never went from their eyes. And though their bodies grew frail, their souls became more beautiful with each passing year. What a wonderful example as we get older. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that we would never get cynical or bitter. May we never lose our love for you and our delight in serving you. And even when we suffer health problems and our bodies are obviously wasting away, and we're no longer able to do some of the things that we were, nevertheless, we thank you, Lord, that your beauty can shine through us more and more. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's close with our final song, In Christ Alone.